Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
We never seem to have enough time to do the right things right, but we always find the time to deal with the problems caused by failing to do so. In this episode of By Your Life, we'll talk about the benefits of being proactive. Welcome to the 199th episode of By Your Life. Thank you for joining me. If you haven't already, please subscribe via your favorite podcast app or on the right side of the page on our website at byyourlife.com so I can send you notifications when each new episode is posted. And please forward to a friend you think would benefit from By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace and to trust that it's good for business. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. The Gospel tells the story of the wedding at Cana and Jesus' first miracle of his public ministry. I'm sure that there have been times in your business life where you wished you could have turned water into wine, or straw into gold, or your limited resources into the resources you needed to get the job done right. As amazing as this and all of Jesus's miracles were, that's not what struck me about this week's gospel. Instead, it was our Blessed Mother's role that stood out to me. The Virgin Mary isn't quoted much in the gospel accounts of Jesus' life. This is one of the most notable. When the wine ran short, she said, "They have no wine." But then, in what today sounds to us as a dismissive tone, Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." I'm sure that the Son of God was not being rude to his mother, but it sounds like he had no intention of doing anything to help this couple. He had a plan, and this wasn't part of it. But Mary was not dissuaded. She knew her son and his unlimited compassion and mercy, so she said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you," with absolute faith that Jesus would take care of it. How was it that Mary felt so strongly about this problem that she ignored her son's response and assumed that he'd do something about it? In her compassion, she wanted to spare this couple from anything that would ruin this very special occasion. I also noticed that Mary was paying attention and acted before the couple was embarrassed. The scripture says, "when the wine ran short," not "when the wine ran out." She was proactive and helped the couple avoid the predicament. Imagine how much better our workplaces would be if we were all a little more like our Blessed Mother. I was working with the general manager of an organization, and he told me about an incident that had just happened with one of his managers. This company had recently hired a new employee who didn't turn out to have all the skills or capabilities that he claimed. After several weeks of training, the manager was very frustrated with this individual. In the end, When she realized that he wasn't a good fit for the position, she let him go. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was the way she let him go. She sent him an email and told him to pack up his desk. He did, and then he went to talk to her, expecting to get an explanation. The manager refused to talk to him and told him to leave. My client, the general manager, didn't know anything about the incident until HR contacted him because the now ex-employee had called and told him what had happened. The ex-employee explained that he understood that things weren't working out, but he didn't understand why he was dismissed in that way. My question for my client was, what could he do now, and what should he have done earlier? The GM acknowledged that he needed to talk with his manager and encourage her to apologize to the former employee for how she handled his dismissal. He also recognized that he needed to understand why his manager behaved the way she did. He needed to get to the root of the problem and not just deal with the symptom. As we talked further about the situation, my client admitted that he knew his manager had been struggling with his employee's performance problems for several weeks, but he never talked to her about it, nor did he offer her any support. He just figured he'd let her take care of things because it was her responsibility. As a result, in addition to coaching the manager, he now also had to deal with the hit to his organization's reputation as an employer in the marketplace. Worst case, he had to be concerned about the possibility of a lawsuit. How often are we too busy to step in and help someone when we know they need our help? We wait for them to come to us with a problem instead of offering to help when we know they need it. This was the situation I had with another client. This manager was exceptionally skilled at project planning, and he expected that his team should be as well. However, he was frustrated because they waited until the last minute to let him know that they were going to be late, or that they were missing some major component, or there was some other obstacle to completing the project on time. He always complained that if they had let him know earlier, he could have helped them. But because they didn't adequately plan their projects, he didn't find out about the problems until it was too late. My client was right to expect that his team should develop good project plans. However, when they repeatedly failed to do so and were constantly late or over budget on their projects, he was allowing them to fail instead of proactively offering to help. He knew they needed help because they repeatedly demonstrated inability to plan appropriately. Yet, he wasn't proactive and didn't step in to teach them. He expected them to ask for help. It is fine to have an expectation of competency, but when that competency isn't there, stop allowing the employee to fail. Either teach them, move them to a different position where they have the necessary skills, or allow them to find a job elsewhere so they can succeed. I recognize that what I'm talking about takes time, and most people don't feel like they have the time. But as Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It usually takes more time to reactively fix something than it does to prevent it from happening in the first place. When the projects were late, my client ended up investing time with his employees, discussing why they failed to meet the deadlines, creating a plan to deal with the issues, and he had to reach out to their internal and external customers for damage control. All of this would take much more time than proactively working with his team to develop a plan and manage the project while it was progressing. Will there still be delays? Sure, but you have a better chance of coming up with workable solutions, and you have a better chance of managing customer expectations when you are proactive. This client said that he expected that his team would ask for help if they needed it, and he was more than willing to help them, but they never asked until it was too late. And that brings me to the second takeaway from Sunday's readings that I'd like to mention. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Mary saw the problem, and she knew she couldn't solve it, but she knew who could. In the second reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. We aren't all good at the same things, and we shouldn't be afraid to ask for help with something that we are struggling with. The manager who was challenged with her new employee should have talked to her boss about it. The employees who are continually running into problems with their projects should have asked for help. This sounds like a simple solution, but they didn't do it for some reason. Perhaps it was their pride or ego. Perhaps it was a culture that didn't reward admitting when you don't know something. Perhaps it was a little of both. These issues are not simple to deal with. Admitting that your pride is getting in the way is a huge problem because, well, your pride is getting in the way. Changing an organization's culture is a slow process that takes conscious and consistent effort. You cannot begin to make change until you are dissatisfied enough with the current situation and you are willing to look in the mirror and ask, what part of this do I own and what should I do differently? Only then will you begin to make the necessary changes in yourself and perhaps influence those around you to do the same. Let's ask our Blessed Mother to intercede on our behalf so we can be aware of others who need our help, proactively step up to compassionately help them, and honestly take ownership of our own opportunities to grow by asking for help. O most gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, sought your intercession, or implored your help was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful, hopeful and blessed. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. May the God, who produces all of these different gifts in everyone, abundantly bless you, and may you glorify Him by your life. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on the right side of the page on our website at byyourlife.com, and help us spread the word by forwarding to a friend, sharing on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Just click the icons at the top of the blog post on our website. Also, you can check out the resources page on our website where you can find links to all the books and videos mentioned in By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback or just leave a comment.